In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today again about why go to church. People can't always come up with any very sensible reasons for going to church. Some people would say, well, it doesn't make any difference where you worship. I do a much better job of worshiping God when I'm outside, outdoors, maybe on the golf course, you worship the Lord. And I am the last to say that you can't worship God on the golf course. I think a Christian can worship God literally anywhere. But there are some good reasons, I think, for getting yourself out of bed and getting yourself down to a church building and walking in and joining with other people and, quote, going to church, period. I read to you from John 4. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he said, real worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worshipers whom the Father wants. Spirit and truth. For me, it's not easy to give my whole attention to God, to worship Him consistently and continually in spirit and in truth. I can't even do it even in church. And that's an honest confession. I find my mind going all over the place. And it takes continual taking myself by the scruff of the neck and bringing my mind back and bring my mind in frame, as one of the hymns has it. Just forcing myself to concentrate on what's going on, what's being said or sung or done. But I know that church is a Christian obligation, that this is a place where I am helped to focus on God. We said in our last talk that the first reason for going to church is for God. The second reason is for joining with other people who are worshiping the same Lord. And the third is to be in a place separated from the world. I need all the helps that I can get, and it's a good idea to get myself physically to a location where worship is the purpose of all those who go. The Bible teaches this. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So going to church is an acknowledgement of God, public, regular, and in a special time and place. There is importance in all of those things, acknowledging God publicly, regularly, and in a special time and place. An acknowledgement is one thing, but feelings are another. You know the old gospel song that says, like a mighty army moves the church of God, brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. Well, when you go to church, you're treading where the saints have trod. If you go to a very, very old church, maybe the sense of ancient saints having trod there is more powerful than if you go to a brand new church. But the fact is that last Sunday, saints were treading there, and this Sunday, saints will be treading there again. So even though we don't feel it and it doesn't ring any bells sentimentally, the truth is there. We are doing what the church throughout all the ages has been doing, meeting together publicly and regularly, wherever it's possible. And shouldn't we be tremendously grateful that we live in a country where it is possible, where nobody is going to interfere with the public regular worship of the Lord? So let me give you a fourth reason. We go to church to learn to know God. And this is not limited just to the sermon. We learn to know God by worshiping Him. The soul that puts itself in His presence, even in silence, is going to be taught by the Holy Spirit in ways that reading the Bible and listening to sermons and singing hymns can never do. The Holy Spirit Himself meets us in that silence. So I go to church to learn to know God, and learning to know God begins with worshiping. It also proceeds by my singing hymns. And I would recommend the singing of hymns to you as a painless method of learning theology. I learned a lot of theology by learning to sing hymns at home and in church. And fortunately, we sang the same hymns in church that we sang at home, so they stuck in my memory. We learn to know God by praying in company with others of like belief. It's always sort of a thrill to me when in my church we kneel and say the same things together. They can be vain repetitions, but they don't have to be vain repetitions. They're repetitions of prayers that some others have made years and years ago, hundreds of years ago, many of them. But to pray in company with others of like belief is easier, for one thing, than praying privately. Then I learn to know God by putting myself under the authority of the Word. Whatever is issuing forth from the pulpit during the sermon time, I am there to put myself under the authority of. I become a part of a fellowship of believers, a microcosm of the family of God. Think about your church that way. It's a group, it's a fellowship, it's a gathering. But in the sense that we are all there to worship the same God, we are all praying the same prayers and singing the same hymns and putting ourselves under the authority of the same Word, then we become a microcosm of the family of God. It's an encouragement in a hostile world to go to a church where there is a fellowship of believers. I'm reminded week by week that I'm not the only weirdo. We are all a group of people who say these same prayers that make no sense to a non-Christian. We take our united stand beneath the cross of Jesus. The cross becomes to us all a home within the wilderness, a rest, a time and a place set apart from all the rest of the week. If your church has a fully equipped kitchen, a gym, a wedding chapel, a bride's room, lounges, bookstores, dining rooms, Christian schools, and, as some now have, even a television studio, try not to forget what it's all there for in the first place. Try not to forget that there is, amid the kitchen and the gym and the chapel and the bride's room and the lounges and the bookstore and the dining rooms and the Christian schools and the TV studios, a sanctuary, a place set apart for holy activity, to praise, to reverence, and to serve the Lord our God. I have quite a long list of pastors that I pray for, especially on Sundays. And I think of the vastly different churches in which those pastors preach. One of them is a very old church, I believe the oldest church in Charleston, South Carolina, perhaps the oldest church in South Carolina. Then I think of my brother Jim Howard, who has a very small church out in Cody, Wyoming. How different the setting. He lives on a ranch. He rides a bicycle about 8 miles across those desolate prairies with those magnificent mountains on the horizon into the town of Cody, and he ministers in just a small church there. Then I think of my friend Richard Strauss, who is out in Southern California in one of those tremendous California churches. California has some unbelievable churches. A lot of them don't look anything like churches. Some of them meet in what used to be office parks. I think of my son-in-law, Walt Shepherd, who preaches in Laguna Niguel, California, and his church is right now at an office park. But I think of Those places, whether they are an ancient church hallowed by long tradition, such as Jim Hampson preaches in Charleston, or whether it's just a little piece of an office park in Southern California, it is a place set apart, a place where people of like mind go to worship, to sing, to pray together, to put themselves under the authority of the Word, to become a part of a fellowship of believers, a microcosm of the family of God. If you're one of those who's been rather indifferent or careless about going to church, may I strongly urge you to find one and start attending. But by all means, try to find a church where the Word of God is faithfully preached and faithfully followed.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.